All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense up on the beautiful shores of Lake Wissota for this Friday. On this January 6th morning, we're going to remember the tragedy of the insurrection and the continuing quest for justice and consequences for those who plotted or took part in or supported this deadly attack on the United States government 2 years ago today. We will visit with two of my Courier Newsroom national colleagues, correspondent Kiev Akil out in Los Angeles and political director Carolyn Fiddler out in Washington, D.C. The January 6th attack highlighted the division and dysfunction of the Trump-era Republican Party, so we shouldn't be surprised that 2 years later, GOP members of Congress continue to be trapped by infighting, which has brought the United States House of Representatives to a halt before the session has even begun. So we will talk to Mark Jacob, a former editor with the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, about developments there and how the media has handled that and other stories from around the news over this past week. And as often happens on Fridays, my friend Dan Schumacher, UW-Eau Claire athletic director, will join us to preview the coming weekend in sports. Will the Packers complete an amazing five-game run and manage to get into the playoffs? Or is there a chance that come Sunday night, we will see Aaron Rodgers walk off the frozen tundra at Lambeau Field for the last time after a loss and maybe after some soul searching that may follow? I'm not saying it will happen, but get your cameras ready because it appears that it might. As often happens on some of these cold mornings, we sometimes get a bit of a glitch in the connection here. Aaron Zommers is joining us by Madison, where his line is probably a lot clearer than mine. How are things sounding down there yet?
Good,
Mr.
as far
Zommers.
As I can tell. I know everything that we're sending out sounds clear.
You sound so much like a typical broadcast engineer, where, I mean, the building could be on fire, but a broadcast engineer will say, well, it's coming out fine over here. You know,
I guess I'm doing it something right.
Yeah, yes, you are. You are true to type. So again, apologies for what I have a stellar internet setup. I have speeds that are just amazing, but you know, that means nothing if either cold weather or network problems mean it isn't going to come to you. So that the hamster wheel isn't here and the hamster wheel isn't down in Madison, but somewhere in between. We apologize if occasionally I noticed it in yesterday's show for about 10 seconds. What happens with a Zoom call is you note it, your voice breaks up, like the gets slow. And then it's like the Zoom tries to catch up. And then for about 5 seconds, you sound like a record going at 78, where it tries really hard to get you all caught up. So here comes the dialogue. And then it sounds normal again. It's like the world's worst DVR.
Oh, did it do that on your recording? Because it didn't do that in real time.
Oh no, it does. I was listening back to the recording, or just even on any Zoom call, you sometimes will hear that, and you go, well, this is what we got. Look, I grew up on AM radio, where you wanted to hear something important while you were listening in the car, and just then you drove too close to a power line, and so the whole thing, you know, did this. So, you know, there's trade-offs in technology, no matter where you are. In fact, what do we have here? I'm already, you know, giving spoiler alerts, but later this hour when we do this day in history and music history, what was the deal on digital radio? Oh, it was on this day 6 years ago that in Norway, they announced they would stop using FM radio, which we associate with clear signals. They're going to stop using FM radio entirely and shift to all digital broadcasting, becoming the first country to do so, which I think is borderline genius. We all basically have little internet receivers in our cars now. So instead of relying on, you know, those kinds of signals, you get the digital signals instead. Nah, that was, again, 6 years ago. Maybe the experiment failed for all I know. I haven't followed up on it.
I haven't either. I should do that. But I mean, we already use a lot of stuff like that with streaming services. And mm-hmm. I know if I am listening to Civic Media, I'm doing so on the Civic Media app, because then I can listen to whichever station I want, not just whichever one I'm closest to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, we want everybody in, say, the Wausau area listening to Bull Falls Radio, and the folks in Wisconsin Rapids listening to, here, I have to sing it again, locally grown radio, or what have you, wherever you're listening. But if you can't be where the radio signal is, if it isn't, you know, strong enough, that's the whole point of having, you know, a digital platform as well. And whether it's, I forgot to say hi, Mom, this morning. We always start the stream a little bit early, right before we start the radio show. And I know my mom listens every day, so usually the first thing I say is hi, Mom, but I was running late today. So the first things I said were actually words that I can't share on the radio right now. But anyway, you know, she watches over the Up North News Facebook page. My wife listens on her commute to work, you know, by putting her phone through her car radio through the Civic Media app. So all the glitches notwithstanding, what I'm trying to say is we are extremely grateful for all the many ways that you listen to us or watch us, and we will try to give you another good show today as we talk about the January 6th anniversary. We talk about the still ongoing vote for Speaker of the House. We talk about some news closer to home. We preview some sports and get ourselves ready for what we hope is an enjoyable weekend for everybody before I take a little bit of time off and then join you again with fresh shows starting January 16th. Let's take a break. More after this on Up North News Radio.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
We'll get more into the January 6th anniversary coming up in a bit, and a couple of extra Beatles songs this morning. In part, again, you'll hear on this day in music history later in the hour, and other reason is I just have some Beatles tunes I really like that I hope you do too. You can reach us anytime. Tell us what's on your mind at 844-967-2789. The line up north is 715-388-7155, and you can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And again, upnorthnewswi.com is where you'll find all the work that our reporters are doing, including the editorial that I delivered at this point yesterday about how the feature of Republicans unable to elect a Speaker of the House. It's a feature of the party. It's not a bug. It's a feature. This party of government shutdowns and long paid vacations. Why wouldn't they want Congress not to even get their session started as they try to elect a speaker? And I love that this group is saying, the people that still favor Kevin McCarthy, you know, there's about 200 of them. And they are upset that about 20 of their members are holding things up. And it has been noted repeatedly over the past couple of days that this is the same party that cheered when the judgment of 6 million people was able to have the judgment of six people on the Supreme Court were able to strip away healthcare rights for tens of millions of American women. So maybe they shouldn't be surprised that, you know, they're upset that 20 people can overrule the will of about 200 more. We'll come back to that in a bit. First, little sports this morning at 17 past the hour now. Again, the Packers game against Detroit, you've probably heard by now, but just in case, is now the Sunday night game. It's been flexed to 7:20 on Sunday night. By that time, Detroit will already know if they've been eliminated from the playoffs and have nothing to play for except a spoiler role, or if they have even more incentive to try to win that game and get into the playoffs. The Packers, it's win or go home. It's just that simple. The Milwaukee Bucks play at home tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. Badger men's basketball team is at Illinois tomorrow. The Badger women's basketball team hosts the Minnesota Gophers on Sunday afternoon. The Marquette men's basketball team hosts Georgetown tomorrow afternoon. So we sit here on this January 6th and wonder how long it's going to take for accountability, justice, and consequences. And I guess if you, I know the term good cop, bad cop is out of vogue, and we should come up with another, a better phrase. But for the moment, I'm going to say that, you know, I may come off as the bad cop on this because, again, I found this attack so offensive and then learned later that it was so well coordinated that even though there have been more than 900 arrests, I continue to be dissatisfied with how justice is being handed out to some of the participants and how there has yet to be justice for some of the plotters. The most recent example came yesterday. I was reading through the thread of a congressional correspondent for CBS News who was following the sentencing yesterday by a DC federal judge for a woman who had gone into the Capitol on January 6th as part of the mob. And this defendant's name was Tammy Bronsberg. And the judge asked Tammy Bronsberg, "What did Trump do to make you so energetic about him that made you do what you did that day?" And Bronsberg replies, "Nothing, nothing. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think I was just caught up." Well, the judge then says to Bronsberg, "How do I know you're not going to get caught up again?" And Tammy Bronsberg says, "I have more important things to worry about, more important things in my life than politics. I don't pay attention anymore. I'll never do it again. I don't know why I did it in the first place. I was just caught up in it all." Well, but she did what she did. She was part of the mob, entered the Capitol that helped support the attack on the U.S. government. And the judge sentenced her to 20 days in jail. Now, look, again, I'm not looking for, you know, a life sentence in prison or something, but the maximum sentence for a lot of these folks who trespassed onto the Capitol that day, the maximum sentence they're facing is 6 months in jail. Again, 6 months. So you're probably in your county jail, not prison. If what happened on January 6th doesn't qualify for the 6 months maximum sentence, I don't know what does. And again, I'm not saying we want blood from this woman who now says she just got caught up in things, but you know, a lot of people say they got caught up in things and face real consequences. And if we continue to see these slaps on the wrist, I think we only increase the odds that something this bad happens again, Aaron, as we continue for years. I am sure we will see charges and sentencings against the folks who invaded the Capitol.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that just getting caught up is a terrible excuse. And then having the audacity to say, "I don't have time in my life for politics anymore," when people died at this event and they just don't have life anymore.
Exactly. It just, again, to me, sends a bad message. Now, the judge obviously, you know, grilled this woman somewhat to say, what, you know, in so many words, what were you thinking? But just bringing that sense of shame to her, I just don't think sends enough of a message. And then we get to the people who actually helped, you know, plan this, organize it, publicize it from Trump on down, you know, and Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon and all the others. But then there's all those layers in between. And that's part of what I really want to get to on this 2-year anniversary, is that this all comes back to people who were trying to steal an American election under the guise of, you know, stop the steal, when they were the ones, in fact, trying to do the criming of an election. And how bad did it get? How close did it come? Well, two members of Congress from Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, even after the riot was over, when the smoke was still in the air, when we knew there was still blood on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol, they voted to object to the certified vote totals that came in from one or two states. Even after all of this, they went along with the plan that was designed to overturn an election. And we later learned that Ron Johnson was within minutes of possibly bringing a fraudulent ballot with fake electors to Mike Pence on the floor of Congress on that January 6th day. We said at the time at Up North News, Tiffany and Fitzgerald need to resign or they need to be booted from Congress. Ron Johnson should as well. And it wasn't just us. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said the same thing. Plenty of others have said the same thing. Our friend Kirk Bangsted brought a court case trying to have them barred from the ballot under the language of the 14th Amendment. The lawsuit was unsuccessful, not because of the merits of the case, but because of something called standing, who could bring the suit, where I think the judge was wrong, but be that as it may, you have to accept it. But that won't stop us from making the point that the merits of the of this case still exist, that the people who supported the insurrection should not be holding office. And it's right there in the Constitution under the 14th Amendment, because the last time we had something like this happen, we ended up with 600,000 people dead in a little thing called the Civil War. And some of us are trying really hard to not have that happen again, not by moments of kumbaya, but by moments of justice and consequences for those who would try to overturn an American election and or attack the government. Now, look, because of, you know, rigged maps and demographics and such, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald are still serving in Congress. You see them sitting right there next to Kevin McCarthy all this week. Ron Johnson, through the help of racist ads from billionaires, squeaked back into office and is back to lying about vaccine data this week over COVID. The fake electors have yet to face any ramification. They are being investigated in some places like Michigan, but we still don't know if either State Attorney General Josh Call or the Dane County District Attorney or somebody else is going to do more about Wisconsin's fake electors, which included a state leader of the Republican Party. But between that level of action, the mob at the Capitol, the higher ups that the January 6th committee is looking into, this is far from over. And as I'd like to remind people who are a little younger than me, you know, Watergate didn't end on August 9th, 1974, when Richard Nixon stepped on that helicopter. It went on well afterwards in court cases and prison sentences and political, you know, ramifications as well. So don't get to a point where you just want to tune this out. You can't tune out an attack on your own country and the ongoing effort of some folks to continue that. Much like after the Civil War, the fight against justice and freedom went on, from the Ku Klux Klan to voter suppression that eventually, decades later, led to the Civil Rights Act. But that work post-Civil War went on for decades, as will this work to make it harder for you to vote, to make it easier to rig maps, to make it easier to overrule election results that certain politicians don't like. And while we will continue to put pressure on the powers that be to bring criminal charges where necessary, it's still going to be incumbent upon all of us to make sure that folks who support this kind of attack on democracy face consequences at the ballot box as well. So let's keep that in mind as, you know, the special counsel, Jack Smith, who just received a new trove of documents from local elections officials, including Wisconsin local officials. Let's keep in mind that this work is going to go on. The prosecutions are going to continue. We're going to have to see that imagery over and over. And don't become numb to it, because that is exactly what some people want. They understand mass communications. They understand grinding people down and then being able to get things done the way they want, when in fact, it's us who need to grind them down through continued investigations, prosecutions, or just exposing who they really are. That's how we're ultimately going to get past this and clean up politics in Wisconsin and in the United States. We'll have more after this break. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know.
Again, we'll get in more in our next segment as to why we're playing a couple of extra Beatles tunes on this Friday. And coming up in just a sec, the interview that I did late yesterday with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil out in Los Angeles. Because again, I'm a nice person and I'm not going to make him talk to us live at 4:30 in the morning out there. But a lot of the content holds. I think the only change between when he and I talked was whether they were on the 8th ballot, 9th ballot, 10th ballot for House Speaker. And I guess in a day that was, again, frustrating, but maybe a certain degree of Schadenfreude was in there. There was that moment where Matt Gaetz, who somehow is still not in prison for some very nasty accusations, Matt Gaetz decided to put into nomination the name of one Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House. And so Republicans then had a chance to put in the name of their party leader, the titular head of the Republican Party, as Speaker of the House. And here's the result of the vote, and then we'll go to our interview with Kia.
The Honorable Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received one. With one recorded as present.
Kia Vakil joins us now from LA. How are you, Kia?
Hey, Pat. I am well. Thanks good. For having me.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Hope the holidays went well for you. We are going to first let folks know that this is pre-recorded. And so we don't know if at this point there have been, you know, 7 votes for Speaker or 17 or God only knows at this point. What we do know, though, is that this is something historic and not in a great way for Republicans taking over the House. So I guess I'll start with something that our non-political following listeners might ask. Does this matter? What's the matter? What's the importance of not being able to agree on who should be Speaker of the House?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Speaker of the House is this constitutionally mandated role, which basically is the leader of the House. And so the Speaker is usually the leader of whichever party has a majority. In this case, it's the Republicans. But to become Speaker, you have to win a majority of votes of the elected members of the House, which right now is 434. So you have to win 218 seats. Kevin McCarthy, who's a California Republican, has failed now 6 times as we're recording today to get that many votes. He's lost up 19 votes on a couple ballots and 20 on the most recent several. So he's not even close. He can only afford to lose 4 Republicans and he's losing 20. This matters for a few reasons. One, the House can't do anything until they appoint a Speaker. That means they can't swear in new members. They can't introduce legislation. They can't even help constituents, you know. So there's literally, it's just in turmoil. It's just in purgatory right now. The House is not, it's vacant. And so that effectively brings the federal government to a halt.
And what's so odd about that is that 2 years ago, Nancy Pelosi had the exact same thin margin. And there were rumblings from some of the more progressive members, but in the end, folks got on the bus knowing full well that you're not going to get everything you want, not in Congress, not within your own party in Congress. There just seems to be a different level of understanding, shall we say, for the defectors on the Republican side this time around.
Yeah, and that's, I think, that's a good sort of parallel to highlight. And that's the reason behind that. You know, Democrats, progressives especially, like, they believe in the ability of government to do things to help people's lives. The Republican Party, this extreme wing of it, they were elected to gum up the works, or they, you know, whether or not they were elected to do that, that is what they do. You know, this is an issue going back years now. They've, the House Freedom Caucus, the Tea Party era, you know, these, I can't even call them fringe anymore, but these Republicans, you know, have no desire to make the federal government work for people. They want to stall it. They want to slash spending. They want to cause headaches for, you know, leadership and the president. So they could care less. They don't have any real agenda that would help most American families. So, you know, they don't even have a real alternative to McCarthy. They voted for, they've cast their votes for about half a dozen different people at this point. You know, whether it's Byron Donalds from Florida, Andy Biggs from Arizona, Jim Jordan from Ohio, they're just throwing votes to anyone but Kevin McCarthy. And they don't seem to have a coherent set of demands to, you know, to negotiate. They're just, you know, John Boehner, who used to be the House Speaker, called them legislative terrorists. And that's what they are. They don't care. They just want to cause chaos. And, you know, that's their right, I suppose. But it's a pretty big signal to the American people that, you know, these people who they put in power are not interested in actually governing.
No. And I found it fascinating that, you know, this new allegedly Republican controlled House, you know, the first 5-6 votes that they've taken, the Democratic candidate for speaker has won. I mean, that's embarrassing enough as it is. But again, coming back to that thin Democratic margin over the past 2 years, you look at the things they got done, the, you know, the American Rescue Plan, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, a host of other measures that, you know, again, people were saying, well, you know, what's it doing for us right now? And the whole point that you have filled us in on is that these are things that are going to pay benefits for years, whether you're watching bridges and roads be built or just this week, insulin costs are capped for a great many Americans.
Yeah, it was an incredibly productive 2 years. And, you know, that may not have been the vibe, so to speak, because, you know, Democrats didn't get done everything they wanted. You know, there's obviously been high inflation because of the war in Ukraine and the pandemic. But yeah, they accomplished an enormous amount of things. And, you know, some of those things are long-term investments. Like we talked, you know, like you mentioned, you have bridges, upgrades to infrastructure and roads and airports and trains and clean water. The Inflation Reduction Act is a huge investment in fighting climate change and helping communities transition to clean energy. Seniors who are on Medicare who have diabetes can now get insulin for $35 a month at most. They will not spend more than that every month on life-saving medication. And again, you know, that's not everything. Democrats wanted to get all Americans on private insurance that copay cap, but Republicans blocked that. So, you know, we did see an incredibly productive 2 years, and even some of the stuff that isn't really, you know, quote unquote, sexy or immediately impactful, such as, you know, investing in industrial chip manufacturing, that down the road will, you know, have the impact of making America more economically independent from places like China, you know, so that when there's issues with the supply chain, you don't see the price of cars double. So it's really an investment in, you know, the future of the U.S. that Democrats were able to get done.
And here's the other thing that makes this right-wing faction's tactics puzzling. They, like you and I have said, they are not looking to be productive. They're not looking to pass legislation. They're not looking to do something. They are looking to undo some things like, you know, Medicare, Social Security, reproductive health rights, voting rights, taxes for their wealthiest donors. They're looking to undo things, but they also know they can't do that because the Senate is controlled by Democrats. So if you can't do
legislation, if you can't undo legislation, then what's left? And it's the thing that we've talked about previously is they just want to do endless investigations, you know, dog and pony shows about, you know, Hunter Biden or Dr. Fauci or you name it. You'd almost think they would just want to pick anybody as speaker just so that they can get going on the one thing they can actually do over the next couple of years.
Yeah. And it speaks to the lack of any coherent strategy or agenda or anything proactive that they can't do that. They can't just agree on a person to appoint a speaker because, like you said, they're not going to tangibly get their main priorities done at all. It's going to be, for better or worse, no matter who the speaker is on the Republican side, it's going to be a do-nothing Congress in the House because they're not going to pass their priorities because they're so extreme that there's no way a Democratic-run Senate or President Biden will sign off on them. And then Democrats will not be able to pass most of their priorities for the opposite reason, the Republican House. And so, you know, in a healthier world, they would find places to compromise. But Republicans, like you said, have made clear they want to investigate Hunter Biden. They want to impeach potentially Joe Biden and the, you know, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. They're trying to essentially create headlines and controversy leading into 2024 to distract from their own toxic unpopularity. But I have a feeling, as they tend to do in recent years, that seems to always frequently backfire on them. And, you know, you're seeing that with this speaker debacle is all it's doing is showing that they can't govern. And if they spend 2 years governing by their 2 years governing, just investigating and kind of creating issues out of thin air, I'm not sure the American people are going to give them another 2 years in 2024.
Unfortunately, they will still be in office, at least for the first few days of 2024. And that causes a lot of, you know, concern about people about what this group could do between now, before, during, and in the immediate aftermath of the 2024 presidential election, much like Donald Trump tried to do after the 2020 election. This is a Congress that is going to basically coddle insurrectionists. And so it seems timely on this week, you know, marking the January 6th anniversary from 2 years ago, that we note that the search for justice essentially still goes on over those terrible events from a couple of years back.
Yeah, I mean, it was a horrific event. It was an attack on democracy. You know, five people died that day. Other police officers have taken their own lives since then. You know, it was a horrific day. And, you know, within weeks, you had Republicans downplaying it. You know, you've had a lot of people, you know, kind of just Americans from all over the country charge for their role in it. But there's been very little accountability for the people who incited it. You know, Donald Trump, he was impeached, but, you know, not convicted in the Senate. He's running for president again. His allies like Ron Johnson got reelected. You know, a bunch of people in the House, you know, most of the Republican House members voted to overturn the election in 2020, or not to certify it, to be more precise. And then they just want a House majority, even if it's a narrow one. So, yeah, that is frightening because going into 2024, you know, who knows what will happen? You know, it was heartening to see voters largely reject the worst election deniers in November. And so that's heartening because it shows that being that extreme and just trying to overturn elections is not popular with swing voters, and though you need them to win. So, you know, there's been some positive movement, but you still have this really intractable Republican Party that just has no interest in actually doing the job they were elected to do.
Yeah, when you hear the phrase "nobody wants to work," we're not talking about most Americans. We have record low unemployment. We're basically talking about right wing politicians who are not looking to work, because the best way to prove government doesn't work in their mind is to not do the work of governing. Kia Vakil, senior national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. It is good to talk to you. We will definitely have fresh material to talk about it as the speaker vote goes on and everything else about this new Congress. So thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You bet. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Our great thanks to our friend Kia for joining us late yesterday from LA to tell us about things that are going on.
One quick note I wanted to tell you about as well. You might have heard that the FDA at the national level is going to make it easier for women to obtain abortion pills through the mail. Wisconsin's one of those few states where that doesn't apply, because years ago, right-wingers in the legislature required in-person visits in order to obtain that abortion medication. And so remember, you'll see what looks to be some good news for women's health care at the national level. But again, Wisconsin here is an outlier. Carolyn Fiddler will join us along with This Day in Music History. Coming up next, you're Up North. Carolyn Fiddler, it's all for you.
Aw.
Belated happy birthday. How are you?
Thank you.
How's it feel having a birthday so early in the year like this?
It actually kind of sucks. Well, because January 3rd was everyone's first day back at work after the holiday. And it's just so close to the holidays. And
I'm familiar. I mean, January 3rd is my half birthday. And so, as somebody with a July 3rd birthday, I know all about being overshadowed by holidays, and your birthday just, you know, people are gone. And
yeah,
somehow we managed to go on. So happy, I'm going to guess 31, 32
very funny.
To you.
That was a while back.
Oh, please. How were your holidays?
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Rested up a lot. I was kind of burned out by the end of the year there. Going really hard all the time.
Mm-hmm. And yet now, one part of your birthday present is to, you know, engage in, I don't know if Schadenfreude is the right word, but, you know, whatever it is about this vote for speaker is, you know,
it just keeps going.
Look, I mean, there's serious ramifications, but can we set those aside just long enough to go, I find this delicious, and so do you.
I mean, as long as we can get it started out by next Friday, so like staffers get paid and stuff, like.
Yes. See, that's just it. We're getting to the real world stuff here, where all those hardworking people aren't going to get paid and whatever else might happen. Plus, I mean, again, I don't want to sound alarmist. This is January 6th. You know, one of the first things they did was remove the metal detectors from the Capitol. So I'm hopeful, but I'm not taking anything for granted.
I think that's smart. I mean, it's not completely unprecedented, but it's unprecedented in modern times for good reason. The Republicans elect a lot of people who just want to burn everything down. And so they are.
Quite literally. Yeah. That's exactly it. So last thing on the political notes for Courier Newsroom's political editorial director. I'm not going to ask you to put money on it, but is McCarthy eventually going to get this deal done and become speaker or not?
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, it seems like it's become like a war of attrition at this point. He's just trying to wear people down. He's having all these votes. I mean, I know he didn't have the votes to adjourn at certain points and things like that, but he just keeps having these votes over and over again without having struck a deal. And he's just like crossing his fingers and hoping something changes. I don't understand his rationale.
Hoping to wear them down, a sense of shame or
shame.
Well, I know, right? And that's where, again, is it unfair that 20 people can, you know, hijack the other 200 in your caucus? No, it's not fair. But, you know, of all people, it was Mark Cuban who tweeted last night that this whole thing is probably the best advertisement ever for ranked choice voting.
Oh, wow. Yes. You know, but also, wow.
You know, I'm like, I'm agreeing with Mark Cuban about something.
I know. But this feels weird.
You know, but as somebody, you know, I favor, you know, ranked choice voting. I think that it's got some real merit. Mm-hmm. Hey, give it a try here. See what you get, you know.
Good luck with that.
Well, look, this is as close as we're going to come to, like, you know, multiple party coalition government in here, is that those 20 people are not really, you know, they're not the same Republicans as the other 200. So I think you might end up with some kind of a coalition deal, even though there's a lot of pressure on Democrats not to do that. But I wouldn't take that off the table either.
I don't think anyone's taking it off the table completely, but yeah, I mean, they would have to exact some massive concessions, and then also trust Republicans to keep their word.
And that's the main thing, is to trust them to keep their word on any kind of a deal. Let's talk music. And Aaron's going to play a little Sister Sledge in the background here, because honestly, I'm kind of surprised the Democratic caucus, they're always applauding with every Hakeem Jeffries nomination and speech. I think they ought to play We Are Family in the background as well. Make it a party of unity, because it's rare that Democrats actually have that.
It's been remarkable. Yeah.
Kathy Sledge is the youngest member of Sister Sledge. You want to take a guess on how old she is today?
65.
64. Very good. Wow. Yep. Born on this day in 1959. Let's see. Another birthday. Well, I'm sorry. The one birthday we have is Kathy Sledge. The others are birth anniversaries of people no longer with us. For example, as we play Back in Black by AC/DC, guitarist Malcolm Young was born on this day in 1953, but he died in 2017. So,
wow.
Somebody who should still be with us right now, but is not. Sure. And I never cease to be impressed at the musical whiplash that we get to play on this segment sometimes as we go from Back in Black to Van McCoy's The Hustle.
Amazing.
Van McCoy, his one-hit wonder from 1975. He was born on this day in 1944, but passed away in 1979. Holy cow, at the age of 35. Hmm. Folks, they leave us too early. Van McCoy was also a producer for Gladys Knight and the Pips and Aretha Franklin. Let's see, what's this? This next one I got from Aaron, because I'm not a follower of Arctic Monkeys, but Alex Turner, the front man and primary songwriter for Arctic Monkeys, turns 37. And their first gig was called Do I Want to Know, which is what I'm hearing here. Aaron, you want to share that part of the story real quick?
Yeah. So Arctic Monkeys has a pretty interesting origin story in that it's a bunch of 15-year-olds who were hanging out. They saw a lot of their friends were in bands and having a good time. And they're like, hey, you know what? Let's do that. Also, Arctic Monkeys sounds like a fun band name. So they took a year, learned some instruments, practiced a whole bunch, and rehearsed, and then they became a band, and now they're actually successful. I think that might be the first time that somebody had all these big aspirations and starts talking about what happens when they have albums coming out, and then they actually do it.
Carolyn, you sing in a band, do any karaoke?
Oh, anything gosh, like that? No!
Come on, I think you would be an awesome show person. I mean, you have no fear of a stage whatsoever. So
that's actually pretty recent. Actually, I had a lot of stage fright for a big chunk of my life.
Well, let us follow the example of Arctic Monkeys, and let's talk about how we can make this happen for a Courier Newsroom, you know, band of our own.
Well, someday. I do have my old alto sax under a bed somewhere.
Perfect. There we go. 1973 on this date, Carly Simon began a 3-week run at the top of the charts with You're So Vain, which I think we played the other day in honor of Kevin McCarthy.
Ha!
I don't know, did we ever find out who it was about? We all thought it was Warren Beatty, but apparently, well, guess what? After now 50 years, it was 50 years ago today, was the number one song. Can't say I care that much anymore.
Yeah.
And finally, Phil Collins released his fourth solo studio album, But Seriously, and gave us this one called Do You Remember? You might not, because it didn't hang around for too long. So there we go. There's our little trip back to remember January 6th for things other than what happened 2 years ago today. So Carolyn, I'm going to be gone next Friday. So we're going to talk in 2 weeks. You think we'll have a speaker by then?
I sure hope so. Just for the sake of the country, frankly.
Oh yeah. I mean, eventually we've got to get back to business, even if it's crazy business over in the house, but that's probably better than no business at all. Thank you, ma'am. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
So great to talk to you. Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher in our next hour, along with more news. This is Up North News Radio.